Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Good afternoon, Mfundisi, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again today. I do hope that we will be able to hear each other. I don't know why our network is doing this to us, and it seems now even some... There you go. Some technicalities are going against us. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, I can hear you a bit faint though, but I can hear you.
All right. Let me try and see if I cannot adjust some of the stuff this side. All right, our question for today is, how do you interpret Jesus' command to hate your father, to hate your mother? And this one is found in the book of Luke chapter 14, verse 26. So I'm going to read it for those who don't have their Bibles in front of them. It reads, and I'm reading it from the English Standard Version. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters... and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. How do you interpret that? Hate is a bit of a strong word, isn't it, Mfundisi? Especially coming from Jesus, a very strong word. But I'm sure there is a perfectly explainable a reason why he used that word and what he meant by all of it. So how do you interpret all of this, Mfundisi?
Thank you so much. Very strong words indeed, if we look on the surface of it. Like what I said at the beginning, when you are talking of Bible interpretation, there are principles that we need to follow,
right,
so that we don't misinterpret and misapply the scriptures.
Yes.
What key principles is that we must interpret the scripture, be it a word, be it a phrase, be it a sentence, be it a passage, within its context. We must know what was the person who is talking about, what was what was the issue. The moment we fail to do that, then we may misapply a text. So we interpret the text within the context of the chapter or within the context of the passage, then that passage in the context of the entire book, then the book within the context of the whole Bible. That's one of the major principles of biblical interpretation.
Yeah.
We may also need to go to probably the original language, but that is necessary. But I think in this passage, it may not be very necessary. Now, if we look at the context of this passage, Jesus is talking about the cost of being a disciple.
Right.
The context has to do with the cost of true discipleship. So in this context now, the word hate, it is used, does not mean or does not imply hostility against someone. Actually, instead, it implies less preference of one in favor of Jesus. That's the true context. It doesn't mean hate your father, as in don't talk to your father, don't support your father. I mean, have nothing to do with your family. That's not the true interpretation. In other words, Jesus should be regarded above anything else.
Right.
He says, then the rest will follow. That's the true context, or that's the true interpretation of this scripture. Otherwise, when we take it as it is, as meaning as it is, a hate, the way we use a hate in today's world. Now, I mean, who should be having a family? Who should be looking at their own family? Because according to this, Jesus has instructed us to hate our parents, to hate our siblings, to hate our own selves.
Right.
So the issue not about the hostility of being hostile to someone, it simply implies less preference to of one in favor of Jesus. I think that's the true interpretation of this text.
So why did Jesus choose to use this kind of strong language? Couldn't he have used a more tempered version of point? I mean, surely he is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. He is the omniscient, all-knowing one. He has a vast vocabulary. He did not run out of words. Why would he use such strong language to demonstrate or make his point? Surely he had other words he could have used, right?
Yeah, we may suggest so, that he may have used... remember the the Bible here, like what I said in the beginning, the original language is very key. I was actually trying to go to my lexicon and check the actual word and the meaning of the word in the original language.
Right.
You may see that it's a bit different from the word that Luke uses. Let me give you an example of the word maybe time. Time is in time, is in our time. What time is it?
Right.
In English language, there's only one word, time. But in the original language, in the Bible, where that word is taken from, there are two, is chronos and kairos. Mm. They mean two different things.
Yeah.
You know, so let me just refer you to what I'm talking about briefly. Unfortunately, the better part of my day I was traveling, so I should have done this before. The word that Jesus uses, okay, that's John 14. In the verse 26. Okay, June 14. That's Luke, rather. That's Luke.
That's Luke chapter 14, verse 26.
Chapter 14. Yeah, sorry. I've gone to John.
Not a problem.
Chapter 14, verse 26. Let me just repeat. He has a vast array of vocabulary. We are saying he could have chosen something better than hate.
You know, Mfundis, I'm worried if you're going to go into your lexicon, because your lexicon, I want to challenge you, does not include Aramaic, the language that Jesus was using. I suspect you're going to be using the Greek, the language in which his words were translated by Luke in order to fit the Greek lexicon. And still, if we're going to be use a translation, I suspect we may not be able to glean the actuality of what he said if we doubt the authenticity of the latter translation. So Greek and English are both translations of the original language he spoke in, which is Aramaic. Jesus didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. So why would we want to go and check the Greek rendition of the word as though he spoke in Greek?
So we may do away with the lexicon. If you saw, we saw the interpretation that I gave in the beginning. That's
right.
The right interpretation.
I hear
you. Why Jesus would have chosen to use that one, I wouldn't know. Why would have chosen to use the way they hate.
Right.
But the context now, like what I said, is the cost of being a disciple.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you choose any other thing besides being the follower of Christ, then you are not worthy. You are not worthy. You know, that's the implication here.
I hear you.
So,
I hear you.
There's no need even to go into the lexicon.
Right.
I wanted to check the actual word. Yes, because Luke wrote in Greek. Jesus did not speak in Greek, but Luke wrote in Greek.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there may be no need, but the interpretation that we give is the cost of.
Let me tell you why, Mfundisi, I am suggesting that the exercise of going to the Greek rendition, which is missei, mm-hmm. is literally to hate, to detest, to love less, to esteem less, from a primary misos, mm-hmm. to detest, mm-hmm. by extension, to mm-hmm. love less. So even if we were to go to the Greek would somewhat be in congruent spaces with the English, which would perhaps not work well for your argument that you're advancing. Let me ask my last question, Mfundisi, and then perhaps you can help me there, and then we'll call it quits. If we are going to temper the effectiveness of the words Jesus is using in verse 26, are we going to temper all the words that Jesus uses in other verses? Why are we uncomfortable with the actual translation in this particular one? I'm going to give you examples that Jesus used. Jesus says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Are we going to temper mm-hmm. that and say, no, he didn't mean Satan. He meant something more polite. When he says to the woman, "It is not good for me to give the bread of the children to dogs," calling a woman a dog, which is very toxic in today's language. Women will be saying, "Oh, Jesus was toxic, calling a woman a female dog." Are we going to temper that as well? And there's many others we could go for. He says to his disciples, I chose you and you are devils. Are we going to temper that as well? Are we going to, you know, sweeten it? Because it appears as though when the words appear to be too strong for our modern sensibilities, we sweeten the language a bit and say, no, 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 he didn't mean hate as in messei in the Greek. He meant something much more polite, like what you were saying there. So my question, if we're doing this, if we're watering down the effectiveness of the words in one verse, are we going to do that with all verses?
There are many instances where Jesus would utter words that you may seem sound like he's being a bit rough.
Right.
Yes. He gave it early Satan, the wedding at Cana, just do what he says. Those were Jesus words. Just do what she tells you. It doesn't seem very polite. You know, even if John was going to be alive until I come, what does that have to do with you? He said that as well. You know? So we take the words within their context. Like what I said, here he's talking about the cost of discipleship. But he is not saying he hate your father.
Right.
That's not what he's saying. An issue of preference. Okay. You remember when he said, let the dead bury their dead?
Yes.
Someone said that. I need to attend the funeral. Then he said, let the dead bury their dead.
Mm.
What exactly did he mean with that? Was he saying don't go to a funeral? Bible interpretation, like what I said, there are many tools. You don't use one tool. Like here, we don't use the lexicon only.
Right.
We use even comparisons. We use historical background. We use context. You know, all those, bring them together, they'll give you the true interpretation.
Mm.
Lexicon alone cannot give you the true interpretation. Context alone may not give you the true interpretation, but bring them together, then you come up with the correct interpretation.
All right. I hear you. So you're saying we must find a context. I'll take that for
find this. The context, yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for your time. I still owe you a call, and I will give you that call, and we'll set up our conversation, our 2-hour conversation. Okay, Mfundisi?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, my pastor. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.